Before I get started, last weekend I found Trey out in the parking lot after church. Today he's in church. Somebody give Trey a hand. And on Easter Sunday, Pastor Linda found Brenda in the parking lot. So she's been coming to church, and today she brought her beautiful daughter, Kim. Welcome, Kim. So that's going to be the new thing. We've got to find them in the parking lot, and then we can get them to church the next week. That's where I got Eugenia. She would sit in the parking lot. Yeah. So if you've been caught in the parking lot, you have to stay. Eugenia had no intention of leaving the parking lot. God had different plans for Eugenia than Eugenia had. All right, we are talking about spiritual gifts. We're on part three, and we're taking these spiritual gifts out of a particular scripture. Put that scripture up. And I do not believe this is inclusive of all spiritual gifts. I believe there are so many spiritual gifts that we probably can't count them. But I know one thing, I want as many as God has for me. And I had a birthday yesterday, and was it yesterday? Friday, okay. And the gifts that I got, I didn't do anything for. They just came to me, and I'm grateful for each and every one of them. But that's not how spiritual gifts work. Don't go think you can sit at a table and the gifts are just going to come to you. You have to pursue the gifts. You have to desire the gifts. You will never have what you do not desire in the spiritual realm. They will not just come to you. You have to seek them. But the gifts we're talking about are wise counsel, clear understanding, and we've covered those two things so far. And now we're going to go to simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. I wish that I could sing. Everybody who can't sing wishes they could sing. I don't have that gift. And Pastor Donna really doesn't have that gift. It's rough. But I'm thankful that we don't all have the same gifts. Because if we all had the same gifts, we wouldn't need each other. My favorite song is, one of my favorite songs is I Need You to Survive. Because it talks about the need that we have for each other. I need you to be healthy. I need you to prosper. I need you to be happy. I need you to survive. And the song says, I won't harm you with words from my mouth because I need you to survive. I love you. I need you to survive. The spiritual gifts that we collectively have will help us to survive. All right, we're going to the first scripture. And that is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust is a extremely difficult part of Christianity. Because we're flesh. We understand tangible things. We understand that if I do this plus this, I get that. We know that's going to happen. In trust of God, you do not know what's going to happen. I don't know where He's taking me. But I tell all the people, I tell people all the time, trust God. He's not going to drop you off a cliff. I especially have to do that when somebody loses their job and they're hysterical. And they come to me and I say, how old are you? And they look at me like, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it's got to do with everything. How old are you? Well, I'm 54. Okay. How many meals have you missed so far? Well, none. God's got you. He's not going to drop you off a cliff. He has something better for you. Now all you have to do is pursue it. Critical thinkers. We've got a few of those in here. They are the hardest to win to God. We won the Bear family one by one by one. And the last one was the critical thinker. The last one was the analytical. That was not you, Josh. Heckling me is not a good idea. I'm fast. One by one, and the analytical thinker had to make sense out of this whole thing. And guess what? Doesn't make sense. Stop trying to make sense out of something that doesn't make sense. As for the gift of trust, I need to trust you, God. I need to trust you with my life. I need to trust you with my day. I need to trust you with my circumstance, my obstacle, whatever it is, God, that's got me. I need to trust you in it. I need to trust you for my health. Pastor Sean is in a place now that he has to trust God. Because there's no other way. He couldn't do what he's doing if he didn't trust God. And people say, I trust God. Wait till the wind blows. Let the wind blow, and I'm going to find out just how much you trust God. Let the earthquake come. I'm going to find out how much you trust God. Because your life's going to show it. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Why does it say that? Because your mind will try to overrule your heart. And you'll think what is logical and what is possible, and you don't understand that all things are possible in God. All things are possible. There's nothing out of reach. The only limit God has in your life is the limit that you put on Him. He's not going to cross the free will line. Lean not unto your own understanding. Why? Because you don't understand. You just think you understand. You understand the picture that you see, but you can't see the picture that God sees. God knows what's next. We don't. I don't know what God has for me tomorrow. I'm going to find out. And whatever it is, I'm good with. It just doesn't matter. I trust Him with my life the way a baby trusts a mother. In all your ways, submit to Him. Now, why is that thrown in there? Because your lack of submission shows your lack of trust. You told me not to do this, God, but I'm doing it anyway, and I know I shouldn't be doing it. What you're really saying to God is, I don't trust you enough to not do this. I got to work instead of going to church. And I'm not talking about those few exceptions where you're forced into it. I'm talking about the times that you do it just because you think you need the money. I'm forced to, I got to work because I don't trust God is going to take care of things for me. To get to this stage took a series of breadcrumbs. What do I mean by that? Is God fed me little by little. He didn't wake me up one day and say, now listen, here's what you're going to do. This is going to cost you a lot of money. And you're going to buy a church, but it ain't going to be where you live. It's going to be near where Kim lives. Or where you live, where your Kim lives, and but your church is going to be a long way away. He didn't tell me that. He said, you're going to take your money and you're going to buy the church. Wait a minute. And then you're going to pastor the church. Oh, no, I'm not. Some people want to be pastors. That wasn't me. I told him no for so long. No. No. That was the last thing I ever thought I wanted to do. We had to trust him that he knew what was best for us. And he'll cause you to do something uncomfortable. And he'll cause you to stretch. And guess what? Not everybody's going to like you for it. All you people-pleasing people. Have a very difficult time surviving in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not about pleasing people. It's about pleasing God. And people get so mad at me. If you want a lot of enemies, become a pastor. That's the sure way. There's not a quicker way to amass as many enemies until you become a pastor. That'll do it for you. You want death threats? Become a pastor. You want to get blackmailed? Become a pastor. You want people to talk about you all the time? Become a pastor. My trust is in God, not in you, because at the day that I'm standing before God, you ain't going to be there. I'm not saying you won't be there. You just ain't going to be at that particular meeting. Don't get me wrong. Don't go home and say, Pastor said I'm not going to heaven. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about my meeting with God is my meeting with God. You won't be at that meeting. Your meeting with God is your meeting with God. I won't be at that meeting. And the only one that I have to give account of my life to is God. And it's not so much that I haven't given account to. He already knows everything. He knows everything I did exactly. He knows the mistakes. He knows the disobedience. He knows the obedience. He knows the sacrifice. He knows the selfishness. He knows it all. But But he also knows I submitted because I trust him. Men, your wives cannot submit to you if they do not trust you. Most of your problems are the simple fact your wife doesn't trust you. How can you submit to a God you don't trust? And he will make your paths straight. You're trying to do it on your own, and you're failing because your body will not allow your path to be straight. I'm on a diet. I did not pray about my diet yesterday. And my path wasn't so straight yesterday because I started devouring everything I could find. And then I gained a pound this week. That's not how diet's supposed to work. You want your plans to work, submit to God. He's going to make your path straight. It's not you that can do it. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 say this. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So if I trust in God, I can stay at peace. Although the storms are all around me, I'm at peace. If you do not have peace, my heart goes out to you. Because life is hard when you don't have peace. Very difficult. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. In other words, God's unmovable. Don't trust him today and not trust him tomorrow. It's easy to trust God in the good things. It's easy when everything's going our way to trust God. Isn't it so easy? We're running around happy and we trust in God. And then something horrific happens. One of the negatives about being a pastor is you get to hear the horrific. And when you think you've heard it all, you get a different phone call. And all you want is to watch the people that are under your words, God's words, to live godly lives. That's what we're here for. We're here to lead you into a godly life. We're here to model a godly life. If I'm not modeling it, how are you going to follow it? Can't. I was talking to somebody last week, I don't even remember who. I talk to so many. I don't make a lot of phone calls. And some people say, well, you didn't call me. Yeah, I know. Because if you receive as many phone calls as I do, you don't make many phone calls. You don't have the desire. Because you're on the phone all the time. But I got the phone call. Now I don't remember what the phone call was. I did turn 64 yesterday for Friday, so I'm allowed to forget a few things. I remember the phone call. And either he was going through something or just got out of something, and I told him the same thing I tell all of you. You either been through something, you're going through something, or get ready. Get ready. Something's coming. Let me tell you who's exempt from that. Nobody. Nobody's exempt. That's life. Earth is an obstacle course. They invent new diseases every day, I'm sure of it. And the medications they invent to combat these diseases are worse than the disease you just have. No, thank you, I'll just keep what I have. Well, you have this, but if you take this, then you're going to get this, 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 that, and that, and possible death. Now, wait a minute. I only have one thing, and I can get rid of that one thing if you give me 15 other things. I don't think that's a fair trade. I have to trust God with my health. I do not have perfect health, but I've got great health. Because I've learned how to trust God with it. May the God of hope, Romans 15:13, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him, then he'll begin to fill you with trust and peace. That's what I meant to say, joy and peace. As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you're not at peace, if you're not at joy, you are a bad witness. Don't come to me falling apart and telling me about God, because I'm looking at you thinking, whew. Why I want that? You're a mess. Apparently God hasn't done nothing for you. Because people that are outside of God don't understand this simple truth. It was never God, it was always you. Either God's the problem or you're the problem, and God is not the problem, it is you. But when you're witnessing to somebody, they see past you and only see God. And if you're at peace when everything's falling apart around you, then somebody can look at you and say, yes, that's what I want. can your life reflect enough God that somebody would want that? This is why you can't win your family to God. It's hard. Hard. You know what I pray for my family? I pray that God sends them somebody. I don't pray that I can win them. I pray that God would send them the right person. Why? I blew it a long time ago. They have seen how angry I can get. They have seen what can come out of my mouth before Christ. But the problem is, they don't see me now. They still remember what they saw before. They don't understand the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that the Holy Spirit changes somebody. They don't understand that I'm a new person. They don't understand that I'm not even who I was yesterday. I'm a new person today. I don't want to be judged from who I was last week, last month, last year, or 20 years ago. I'm a different person today. And that's one of the problems of Christianity, is you don't want to let people change. You don't want to give them a chance to change. You want to hold them to the fire, but you don't want to be held to the fire. That's why husbands and wives shouldn't be running their mouths about their problems to other people. Why? Because you go tell me how bad your husband is. I'm just using me as an example. I'm past all of that, and I have the maturity to handle it, but most don't. There's a change in your relationship, but we want to hold you to the man you told me he was. That's what your friends do. And then instead of having support, you have negativity that you're dealing with. Because you've done... opened your mouth to the wrong person. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that I'm changed. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that you've been changed. But see, something has to begin, that spark. You know what that spark is? I want to change. That's the spark. I want to change. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to change. I want to be a better person. I want to be a godly person. You're afraid to ask yourself this one question. How's that working out for you? People don't like when I say that. Well, I can't change. It's just who I am. And then I say, how's that working out for you? Obviously, it's not. I often tell you about all the dumb things I hear. One of the dumbest things I hear is somebody who will tell me, if I could go back and change things, I wouldn't, because it got me to where I am today. And the reply you'll get from me is, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because if I could go back and change things, I wouldn't have been a pastor 13 years ago. I'd have been one 40 years ago. If I could go back and change things, I'd have treated my wife better. But you treat your wife good. Yeah, and I'd have treated her better. If I could go back in time, I could figure out what's more important a lot sooner than I figured it out. I don't want to stay the same. Do we have another one on this subject? All right, let's do it. Oh, yeah, we got a couple more. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 8. This is what the Lord says. A lot of times people get me confused with the Lord. I am not the Lord. I am the messenger of the Lord. There's a huge difference. Huge difference. And you get mad at what I say. And if you came here to hear what I have to say, you came for the wrong reasons. You needed to come here to hear what God has to say. And every now and then we get this. This is what the Lord says. That means there's no doubt that this is coming from God and not me, right? Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Let me explain that to you. You put a curse on yourself when you trust in somebody that turns you away from God. I want to invite you to a party. It's on Sunday morning. Well, you know, I really should be at church. Oh, no, it's okay. You can miss church. It's okay. The pastor won't mind. God won't mind. The congregation won't mind. You just go ahead and don't even worry about that. And bam, you say, okay. And you never went to God. And you never went to God. And you never got by yourself. And you never looked up into the heavens or bowed down or whatever it is you want to do, because I believe God hears your prayer no matter what position you're in. Eyes open, eyes closed, hands folded, hands open, don't really matter. God hears every word you say. God, should I be there or should I be here? Don't trust in a man to give you that answer. Trust in God to give you that answer. Because if you're drawing your strength from a man who turns your heart away from God, then you just put a curse on yourself. That's what that says. Carry on. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. And we're not talking about money here. Money's part of it, but it's not prosperity. Prosperity is your life. Prosperity is when your kid graduates college. That's prosperity. Prosperity is when you're healthy enough to come to church. That's prosperity. How do I know that? Because I know how many people are sick today and can't come here and would give anything to be here today. And they're watching on TV right now or on the computer or whatever gizmo they have. But they would rather be here. How do I know that? That's what they tell me. I want to be in church so bad. We had to You remember that lady, Pastor Linda, wanted to be in church so bad that we went and got her out of the hospital and wheeled her here? In the nursing home, through via technological things, we watched on screen as she became a member of the church and was baptized, right? And was baptized. Wanted to come to church so bad that we sent a team out to pick her up and bring her here. And you deciding whether you're going to go to church or not. Seriously? If you only knew. If you only knew what could happen. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Don't let a man disturb your trust in God. When you've got to make a choice where your trust lies, where you are is where your trust is. You know what blesses my heart today? Well, several things, but one in particular is to see a mother and a daughter sitting together in church on Mother's Day. Because so many daughters or so many mothers said, let's go here, let's go there. When they should have said, can we go to church together? And then we can do whatever you want after that. That blesses my heart. Thank you. Knowing what I know right now, if my mother was alive, I would be in church with her today. I don't know if it'd be here, or I don't know if it'd be in the state she lived in, but I can tell you one thing. Knowing what I know now, I'd be in church with her if I could. And people tell me they wouldn't go back and change things. I'd go back and change all that. And I'd take my mother to church. I'd say, get in the car. We're going to church. I wouldn't even ask her. That's where we're going. Happy Mother's Day. Get in the car. I hope Brenda didn't have to do that. Maybe Kim had to do it. I don't know. I hope not. But I'd do it. I'd do it. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. People like to say I'm arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I'm confident. I'm confident because I have seen what God can do. I love that new song by Crowder. And our praise team sings it, and I love that song. And he talks about what God can do, how important prayer is. What's the name of that song, Rob? Somebody Prayed. Beautiful song. If you haven't heard it, Google Somebody Prayed by Crowder. Beautiful song about trusting in God and watching God move mountains. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. got some trees in here, and I've got some wannabe trees. What do I mean by that? I got some people that are planted, and their roots run deep. And although I'm going to upset them, and I have upset them, they don't move an inch. And they don't get distracted very easily or at all. They ain't trying to run here and run there every time somebody has some activity, some kind of thing. What they do is they tell their family, listen, you want me to come to the birthday party for the grandkids? That's great. I want to be there. Make it after 3 o'clock. Because I'm going to be at church from 9 to 12. I ain't moving. I'm planted. My roots are deep. And you're not going to be able to pull them out. When my kids have some kind of activity they want me at, they know what time they better make that activity if they want me there. Their choice. But I know where I'm going to be. And if I'm going to miss church, it is going to be for a very, very, very good reason. Because it's not something I'm willing to do because I'm like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Ask yourself, am I planted? Am I planted? I used to be planted. And life got real complicated. And one by one of my roots was pulled up. And one by one, all of a sudden, I begin to sway. And I begin to swivel. And next thing you know, I'm over here and I'm over there. Because life got complicated. Let me tell you all something very important. Life's going to get complicated. You young people, we're excited to see the futures you have, but it's going to get complicated. There's going to be some times in your life that it's going to be overwhelming, overbearing, and seemingly impossible. But keep your roots strong. If you're planted in Christ, you are going to get through it all. And not only are you going to get through it, but you ain't going to be worried about it. And you're never going to fail to bear fruit. Jeremiah 29:11, my all-time favorite scripture of the Bible. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. If those are God's plans, what happened to you? I hold on to that scripture. Because what God knows is far greater than anything I know or you know. For I know, for God knows the plans He made for me. And although I don't like all those plans, they're not to harm me. They're not to cause me to lose hope. They're plans to give me a life. That's what a future is, a life worth living. One more scripture and I'm going to close. I'm out of time. But I want to finish this one section. Psalms 26:7. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You can trust in your bank account. I know a man who did. I know a man who raised up his bank account and said, "This is my God." 6 months later, he got to meet God. He found out that there was another God. That wasn't a good meeting. You've got to trust your marriage to God. You've got to trust your children to God. Got to trust your health to God. Got to trust your finances to God. Trust Him. Seek that gift. When you're praying this week, God, the Bible said, trust is a spiritual gift. I never looked at it that way, God. But I want that gift. I want to trust you, God, with everything in my life. I want to trust you with all that I have. I want to trust you in good times. I want to trust you in bad times. I want to trust you when I have. I want to trust you when I have not. I want to trust you when I'm well. I want to trust you when I'm sick. I just want to trust you. In the name of Jesus, I trust you. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Prayer team, will you come up? If anybody needs prayer today or wants prayer today, there's people that will pray with you. You have a wonderful day. Call your mama or go see your mama, whatever's possible.